I want to talk with you about something today, and I know that the moment I say it, some of you are going to reach for your radio dial. So let me just ask you to stay with me for a moment. Today, we're going to talk about death and dying, and about the people whose whole lives are dedicated to walking alongside us when we get there. I know it's a hard subject. Most of us spend our whole lives keeping it at arm's length, not because we don't care, but because we just don't know how to face it. But here's the thing I've learned recently. On the Western Slope, when that time comes for someone we love or someday for ourselves, we are not alone. There are people right here in our communities ready to help, and the help they offer can change everything. So, stay with me. This one matters. This is Local Motion, KBNF's weekly public affairs program. I'm Brody Wilson. If you can't stick around for the next 30 minutes, no worries. You can always listen later by looking for Local Motion under the news tab at kbnf.org or by searching for Local Motion on Spotify. Today, we'll hear from three voices. We'll spend time with Cynthia Hines, a name that many of you know. Cynthia hosts Blues and Other Colors on Tuesdays here on KBNF. And we'll hear from Hope West, the organization that has been the Western Slope's home for hospice and end-of-life care for nearly 35 years. And we'll talk with Mariah Malin, a birth and death midwife from the North Fork Valley. Let's begin. Cynthia Hines has been part of the KBNF family for a long time, and she and her late husband Todd hosted Blues and Other Colors together, one of the most beloved shows on this station on Blues Days or Tuesday afternoons. Cynthia still hosts the show today. Todd passed away in April of 2025, and it was a deep loss for Cynthia and for this whole community at KBNF. Cynthia agreed to talk with me, not about grief exactly, but about what she learned, about what it asks of you to be with someone that you love at the very end of their life, and about the help that made it possible. When Todd's illness reached the point where it was clear that a hospital wasn't going to work for him, Cynthia knew the responsibility of caring for him was going to fall largely to her. Months before he died, she started seeing a therapist, and she reached out to hospice. She wanted, as she puts it, to show up as her very best self.
And having been there for my mom, I was just completely awed and humbled by what a sacred privilege it is to be with someone through this process. And I wanted to do it the very best I could. And because it's not easy.
Cynthia and Todd live in a somewhat isolated place. Her neighbors aren't close. She knew she needed all the help she could get. And once hospice came in, something shifted for everyone.
It was very helpful to him to know that I had a team and that he had a team. And then when his kids showed up, they had a team.
Hospice didn't soften the truth for her. They told her plainly what was coming and what to do. And they did it, she says, with extraordinary care.
And there was no, they didn't mince words with me. They were kind and compassionate beyond belief. I mean, these people are utterly inspired with what they do. But they told me what I needed to know in plain terms that I could understand.
And then Cynthia helped me understand why this really matters.
And I'm so grateful he could be at home with his family and with me and at this beautiful place we built together. And when I knew he was gone, I felt such a overwhelming sense of freedom. I could feel his freedom. He was free of that body and that suffering. And hospice helped me understand how to celebrate that and how to prepare for it. And it was the most important thing I've ever done.
That is what this episode is about, being there and not having to do it alone. Because of hospice, Cynthia says the fear of not knowing went away, and that changed everything.
And because of the removal of the fear of not knowing what to do, not knowing what to expect, I was able to show up. The family was able to show up in a way in which we could support him and support each other.
So who are these people that Cynthia leaned on? For much of the Western Slope, the answer is an organization called Hope West. Hope West is nearly 35 years old. It started small, and it started here. I sat down in Studio M in Montrose with Hope West's president and CEO, Deneen Silva.
So Hope West is a freestanding not-for-profit organization that started almost 35 years ago. And so it was a community organization. It started as a hospice. And it was started by our community for our community.
Hope West has grown well beyond its hospice roots. Deneen Silva runs through what they offer today.
And it has evolved over the years to something that is much larger, and it has several programs within its organization. So we offer hospice, we offer palliative care, we offer dementia support, we offer grief services or grief and bereavement services, and then we also have a program of all-inclusive care for the elderly.
And they offer all of it across a vast stretch of the Western Slope. Here's Chief Clinical Officer Lindsay Camphor on their reach.
The largest footprint of our services from Hope West are going to be out of Montrose County. We also cover Ouray County, Delta, all the way out to Paonia and Hotchkiss. We cover Mesa County, including Grand Junction proper, Fruta, and we go all the way up to the Grand Mesa as well, serving Plateau Valley, Colborne, and that I-70 corridor all the way up to Rifle. And we even do home-based palliative care out of Meeker.
It's a big organization, around 450 employees. But its chief clinical officer, Lindsay Camphor, says the real heart of the work is its volunteers, more than 1,000 of them.
You know, we talk a lot with patients and families. We leave this earth in a lot of the same capacities that we enter this world. And we are so accustomed to saying it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village to have high quality end of life care or high quality of care with chronic illness. So it's not just, it is too much work for one person alone.
It is too much work for one person alone. For a lot of families, though, the first fear isn't the work, it's the cost. The worry that real help is something they simply can't afford. Lindsay Camphor says there's something about hospice care that a lot of people don't know.
And for hospice specifically, the hospice Medicare benefit is covered at 100%. So what does that mean? It means no deductibles and no co-pays. So if somebody elects their hospice benefit, they do not incur a cost for their care at all.
And for those who fall outside the system entirely, who don't have a payer at all, Lindsay says it is not a barrier at Hope West.
So one of the things that's unique about Hope West, but something we're deeply committed to, is that we provide care to anybody on the Western Slope that needs and qualifies for our care, regardless of their ability to pay. So we have, of course, there are reimbursements through Medicare, Medicaid, and private insurance for most of the care that we provide. But there are still those instances and occurrences in which somebody may find Hope West that doesn't have a payer. We do not turn them away. What we do is we wrap our arms around them. We explore how can we get them access to health insurance if they can, if they're eligible for that. And if they don't, then we talk about utilizing things that such as sliding scales. So can they afford to contribute some to their care? If their reality is that they cannot, so be it. We continue to provide them the care because we recognize dignity at end of life is key for how we treat those in our community and how we can steward and foster our reputation as well as a high quality care experience within our communities.
No one is turned away. That's worth sitting with. But money, it turns out, isn't the biggest barrier. The harder one is the word itself and what it means for families to say it to each other. Lindsay Camphor calls it the H word.
Hospice oftentimes is like the H word. It's like a bad word for folks. They don't want to talk about it. But the way that I look at it is that we are moving away from the diagnostics of healthcare that come with some of that, those heavy feelings. Hope, fear. So we're seeing our cancer indicators or markers increase. We have reached a destination therapy and failed it. And that comes with those heavy feelings, the reality of those heavy feelings, right? But in hospice, we move away from the diagnostics of healthcare and towards the feelings of healthcare. And that's where we get the opportunity to say, we want to companion you to make you feel as good as you can every day.
The diagnostics of healthcare to the feelings of healthcare. Lindsay says that shift is where hospice does its best work. And it's practical. It's not abstract.
Maybe that's a grandchild's ball game on a Saturday, and they want to have the ability to get up and sit in a lawn chair for an hour and a half. So let's talk about a medication regimen that'll allow them to do that.
Hospice isn't about giving up. It's about changing what hope looks like. Deneen Silva has spent 30 years in this work. She says,
I've never heard anyone in hospice say, I wish I would have waited longer to call you. What I hear over and over and over in my 30-year career is, if I had only known the benefits and how your organization and your experts have surrounded my family with skill and compassion and love.
That's the message that Hope West comes back to again and again.
And so what we encourage people to do at our organization is know us before you need us.
Lindsay Camphor says that the timing matters more than most of us realize, that hospice isn't only for those final days.
Hospice care, or end-of-life care, or chronic illness care doesn't happen in the last 2 weeks or 30 days of life. We really need to be thinking about hospice for the last year to 2 years of life.
And Hope West's focus is never only on the patient. It's also on the caregiver, the husband, the wife, the daughter, the son, the person carrying it all. Lindsay Camphor says that person matters just as much.
But I will tell you this. A parent is not going to want to watch their son, daughter, or child wither at their bedside trying to provide care for them. They're going to want them to take care of themselves, right?
One more thing about the choices available to families here. Colorado is one of a small number of states where medical assistance in dying is legal. It's a path some families choose to explore. It wasn't, in the end, the path that Todd Hines took. We'll hear more about that later from Cynthia. You're listening to Local Motion, KVNF's weekly public affairs program. I'm Brody Wilson. This week, we're talking on the uncomfortable topic of death and dying. We're talking with KVNF's beloved Tuesday afternoon DJ of Blues and Other Colors, Cynthia Hines. We're talking with Cynthia about how Hope West's hospice program was helpful to her at the end of her husband Todd's life last year. And we're talking with Hope West's president and CEO, Deneen Silva, and chief medical officer, Lindsay Camphor. If you're not able to catch this full half-hour episode, no worries. You can always listen by looking for Local Motion under the news tab at kvnf.org or by searching for KVNF Local Motion on Spotify. When we say it takes a village, we're referring to another layer to caring for someone at the end of life, the community layer. The neighbors, the friends, fellow church members, the people who bring meals and watch the kids, sit in the kitchen, and take out the trash. Hope West has a team of 1,100 volunteers who can show up for you, and they're not the only resource on the Western Slope. Mariah Malin lives in the North Fork Valley. She's been a midwife since she was a teenager. She started catching babies at 16. But when she arrived in the North Fork Valley in 2017, she found herself called to the threshold at the other end of life.
You know, being with people in intensity and being with people, you know, I say I'm a veil walker. I support the coming and going of souls and those who love them, not just the souls themselves, but really those who love them.
You've heard of birth coaches, doulas, and midwives that support birthing mothers? Well, Mariah similarly supports families around death. And what she's learned after years of walking with families in this valley through loss starts with a problem that most of us will recognize.
And I think that people are afraid to step in because they're afraid to do or say the wrong thing. And that is from a place of love. Like, they really genuinely don't want to add more stress. They don't want to say something and it's wrong and that feels uncomfortable, and so they retreat.
And retreating, Mariah says, is the thing that people regret, because what a family needs isn't someone who has the perfect words. It's someone who's simply willing to be there.
What they need most is people who are willing to show up and willing to sit in the discomfort of not knowing what to do or what to say, right? Like, that's really part of what I see of what is missing in our current culture, in our Western culture, is this, you know, the interweaving of end-of-life care with all of life.
Mariah has spent a lot of time thinking about how exactly a person can show up. She distilled it into a handful of principles, and you don't need to be a professional to use them. It starts with willingness, just deciding that you're going to help. Then self-care, making sure that you are whole enough to give to another. Then bravery, going forward even though it's uncomfortable. Then what she calls sacrifice in the web of life, the idea that you give your time to someone in need and that that care eventually circles back around to you. The fourth principle she calls staying close. It's about finding that delicate balance between letting people know that you're available while also giving them the space they need to grieve and be with their loved ones. And finally, sitting in the fire. Mariah's point is this: if you're willing to step in, you will eventually say or do the wrong thing. It's inevitable. But that's not a reason to retreat. It's a reason to stay with loving intention. And here's the part that I found freeing: showing up doesn't always have to mean sitting at the bedside.
Right? So, like, how can we find our place in the web and know that showing up for the dying and their loved ones may never actually be interacting with them directly, but maybe we can show up for those who are showing up?
Mariah is still also a birth midwife, and in birth, every stage of labor has a name. There's a shape to it. So she's done something similar with death. She's mapped it into three stages.
The first stage is from diagnosis to the moment of death. And all those things that we talked about with how to show up, meal trains and da 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 da, that's like, how do we show up in the beginning, in that first stage? Then there's the second stage. The second stage, as I am defining it, is from the moment of death to the release of the body. And when I say release of the body, that's, you know, introducing a new word for the word disposition. disposition is like how people are buried or cremated, and I don't really like that word. It's kind of related to disposal, and I think our bodies are sacred, and there's another way of communicating that, the power of language, right? So that second stage, from the moment of death to release of the body. And then the third stage. The third stage is from release of the body until forever after. Okay? And I think of that, I think of that as the integration phase.
That second stage, the hours and days right after death, is one that most of us have never really thought about. There are calls to make, death certificates to obtain, wills or trust to administer, belongings to sort through and deal with, tough decisions maybe about the body. Again, these are decisions that you do not have to go through alone. There are resources like Hope West or like Mariah Millen.
There's a lot of help needed during that time. And that's absolutely when a death doula or a home funeral guide or anybody who has some experience with this can be of great use.
If you've never been through it, how would you know? That's Mariah's whole point. These are things we used to learn from each other as neighbors, as a community. And somewhere along the way, many of us lost that. What Mariah believes is simple. If we can learn to show up for one another at the hardest moment, the moment of death, then we can learn to show up for each other through anything. A divorce, a diagnosis, a hard week. That's the thread she's trying to help us mend. Let's go back to Cynthia Hines. By the end, hospice had given Cynthia a kind of a map. They told her what to expect. They told her not to call 911, to call them instead. And they told her one more thing, something that changed everything about Todd's final hours.
One of the things that they guided me through was, it may seem like he's unconscious or he's not here, but he can probably still hear you. And so if people need to say something to him, say it, because he will receive it. And on the one of the nights before he died, I spent all night singing to him and talking to him and playing some music and reading different things to him and finding the words to help him let go, that it was okay and that we were going to be okay.
Cynthia, what she would say to someone listening right now, someone with a loved one near the end of life. She didn't hesitate.
Sooner than later. Because Todd went to the emergency room in December, late December, and hospice came and talked to us then. If you believe that your loved one is dying, get hospice in there as soon as possible. It may be, maybe they call you once a week. It depends on where you are in the process. That's still very helpful. They can help you navigate doctors and facilities if that's something that you need. So, I mean, they know how to do this. And we don't so much. And so if as soon as you believe that's on the horizon, I would call and talk to them. And they will lead you through the process in an appropriate way.
The team at Hope West says the very same thing. remember, reaching out early is not about giving up. CEO Denine Silva puts it this way.
Well, in hospice, what it means is we normalize this process in our lives. We all will arrive. But what we want to do is we want to give people hope. Mm-hmm. It's no longer about quantity of life. It becomes quality of life. And so we work with every single person that becomes a hospice patient, and we develop a very individualized plan of care with them. What are their goals with however much time they have left? For some people, it may be, I don't want to feel pain. And that means, okay, well, we're going to manage your pain level to whatever degree that is comfortable of you or for you. And it might be that they want to be more alert when they have company over. So, okay, we're going to work with you on that. But the biggest thing I think that hospice does is it provides hope. It provides a time in which we can work with an individual and their family. And I've never heard anyone in hospice say, I wish I would have waited longer to call you.
Earlier, I mentioned medical assistance and dying. Legal here in Colorado. Cynthia and Todd had signed up for it. In the end, Todd's illness moved too quickly for him to be a candidate. But Cynthia says just having the option mattered enormously. And she had this to say.
I have some friends who recently have passed who had that option. It's very empowering. It's dignified. It takes guts. It takes a lot of courage. But so does death is hard. And it's magnificent and it's sacred. And you need help with it. And MAID can help you. Hospice can help you. You don't have to go through it alone. And don't.
You don't have to go through it alone. That's the thread running through every conversation we've had today. From Hope West saying, know us before you need us. From Mariah Malin, finding your place in your community web. And from Cynthia saying, call sooner than later. Death is one experience none of us escape. But facing it turns out, is not something we were ever meant to do by ourselves. There are people in our communities today whose life work is to walk that road beside us. Cynthia Hines was with her husband Todd until the very end.
When I knew he was gone, I felt such a overwhelming sense of freedom. I could feel his freedom. He was free of that body and that suffering. And hospice helped me understand how to celebrate that and how to prepare for it. And it was the most important thing I've ever done.
If you or someone you love is facing a serious illness, you can reach Hope West at hopewestco.org. You don't need to know exactly what you need when you call. That's the point. They'll help you figure it out. Hope West also offers grief and bereavement support for adults, children, and teens, whether or not your loved one was ever in their care. Mariah Malin is a birth and death midwife serving the North Fork Valley. She's recently finished a book called How to Show Up for the Dying and Their Loved Ones, What to Do, What to Say. You can learn more at standingattheveil.com. If you joined us midstream today, you can find the full episode under the news tab at kbnf.org or by searching for Local Motion on Spotify. Special thanks to Cynthia Hines, Denine Silva, and Lindsay Camphor of Hope West, and to Mariah Malin. For KBNF News, I'm Brody Wilson. Thank you truly for listening.